Hi folks, welcome to my daily update video. Just you having a good day. Hey, in a moment, I want to share some thoughts about what's happening in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine right now. How do we process that? How do we pray for that? How do we deal with that as believers? Jump into that in a moment. Let me give you a few housekeeping things first. Again, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there. Check out the links below. We have a daily audio podcast as well for you podcast listeners. I wanted to mention this coming Sunday, I'm going to be speaking here at Sturbridge Worship Center in the morning on the anointing, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., I'm going to be ministering in Berkshire Christian Fellowship in the town of Otis in the Berkshires. Very welcome to join us there. In the month of March, I'm going to be in the UK for 1 week in London and the northwest of England and also in Wales. So, great ministry trip coming up there. Keep that in your prayers. Two more things as well. I'll be taking a team to the nation of Ireland in the month of May, May 3rd through the 10th. So if you're interested in coming on a supernatural missions and mentoring trip to Ireland, really powerful time. There's still some places there. Go to gjm.org, link below for the details to that. Lastly, I have a new course out on my ministry school, all about the transformational power of goodness. It's interesting, for many years, I fell into this, frankly, religious, kind of pharisaical mindset where if I got around people who talked a lot about the goodness of God, it's like I would look down on them and go, oh, you know, it's the holiness and repentance and, you know, we need to talk more about those things. Until I realized, actually, well, number one, I was being a Pharisee. Number two, I was actually being really shallow. The Bible says we should know the goodness and the severity of God. But it's actually the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, not his severity. It's not God coming and hitting somebody on a stick that produces repentance. It's the goodness of God. And I began really over a season in my life to get a revelation of the transformational power of goodness. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, we've heard that so many times, but there is a seeing of God that comes through tasting of his goodness. Let me say that again. There is a seeing of God that only comes through a tasting of his goodness. Anyway, I have a course there, 12 lessons, video, audio, notes, reflections, meditations. Normal price is $50. This week it's reduced to $25. So again, check out the link there below and look into that. Good. Well, hey, let me take a few moments and talk about what's happening in Ukraine as well. And well, just share a few random thoughts on that as well. Not exactly been to Ukraine. I've literally been to the Ukrainian border. I've been, I believe, three times to Romania and Moldavia, a little country right in the northeast of Romania, which is under Ukraine. And I once went right to the border of Ukraine, but I've never been there. I know some pastor friends there. And like many of you, I'm shocked, grieved, heartbroken, angry, disgusted, you know, what Vladimir Putin has done, you know, what he's been doing for a while in so many ways, but especially in the last 24 hours, a tipping point, at least at the time of recording of this video. Maybe this will be outdated soon, but at the time of recording, he's just invading Ukraine. And, you know, it really is like a throwback, frankly, to the 1930s, exactly the same playbook that Hitler used with the Sudetenland, with Poland, with Austria, France, Belgium, Holland, things like that. And how do we even begin to process things like this? Let me just give you a few quick random thoughts today. And I'm sure you have some other good ones as well. But can I say this? Firstly, there's a glorious truth, but there's a glorious danger as well in looking at any world event and say, well, God's causing, God's orchestrating this. And in one sense, God is over everything. God is the great king over all the earth. Every atom that moves in the universe, God is over in that sense. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that God is doing something. In Luke 13, a tower fell, the Tower of Siloam fell and killed 18 people. And the disciples and others came to Jesus and in a way were saying, well, what was the message behind that? A tower fell and killed people. What was God saying? And Jesus' message, it sounds harsh, but if you think about it, his message to his disciples were, God's saying, repent. Unless you repent, unless the whole world repents, you know, we're all going to perish. And whether you perish on a tower or a military invasion, or you live long and prosper and die at 120, you perished. And in a way, what God's saying, every time there's a sunny day, every time there's a snow day, every bird what do birds do? Tweet. every dog that barks, in one way, God's saying, repent. And by that, he's saying, turn from your ways and turn to my ways. But I do think there's a danger in us trying to read in as if, you know, well, God did this. No, Vladimir Putin did this. How do we even deal with this? Here's a few thoughts. I mean, number one, we should pray. And again, the real danger for us charismatics in a social media world is instead of praying, we go online and we say praying. Or instead of praying, we try to become the prayer leader and go online and say, hey, I encourage you all to pray for this. And, you know, I think at times it's just about 10 times easier to talk about praying than it is to pray. So why not even press pause on the video now and just pray? Pray for all in the Ukraine, but especially those of the household of faith. Pray for, you know, the Bible lists three categories of people in 2 Corinthians, the Jews, the nations, and the world. And excuse me, the Jews, the nations, and the church. The Jews, the Gentiles, if you will, and the church. And I would pray for those three distinct categories of people in the Ukraine right now. There are, you know, there are many Jewish people there. There are many believers there. There have been many missionaries there since the fall of the wall. Many great churches in Ukraine right now. And let's just pray for those people there. You know, just again, a few quick thoughts. Number two, we should always look in humility and realize that, you know, we are living in a broken world with broken leaders. We're living in a sin-filled world. And those of us who are living in a peaceful nation, to some degree, we're the inheritors of revivals of time past, of prayers of time past, of godly men and women. But if we think, you know, so often in a generation like mine, I'm 52, and like most of you watching this, we're certainly born after the Second World War. I guess you could talk about Vietnam and different things like this, the Iraq wars, but most of us have not known war in that sense. And we are the weird ones in human history. And at times, my point is at times, we look at our safe, clean, sterile, blessed world, and we think this is normality, and it's not normality. It would behoove us to know history well, obviously Bible history, but even our own history, European history, American history. It would behoove us to look even at the last 100 years, and we see, whenever we think humanity is doing better and better and better, I think it's really good to look back and realize, no, this is who we are. And in one sense, there are no bad nations and good nations. There are sinful nations and sinful men and women. And so looking at just a situation like this with humility, and the answer is not, you know, I was literally watching the TV last night when Putin declared he was invading. And at the same time, the United Nations, including the Russians, are sitting there talking through this. What we don't need is some new super duper League of Nations, United Nations. As some of you know, let me say this. I don't talk about this maybe even enough, but I think it was 2005, I got a prophetic word that I would preach before kings, prime ministers, leaders, ambassadors. And if I'm honest, I was like, okay, that's nice. 2 weeks later, I was announced to address the United Nations in New York City. And I preached in, literally preached the gospel and healed the sick. Jesus did the healing in the United Nations. And right outside the United Nations, there's a scripture, a half scripture that says they will beat the swords into the spears into pruning hooks. You know, there will be peace. And the problem is that's half a scripture, because that scripture actually says, come, let us go up the hill of the Lord. He will teach us his laws. We will walk in his ways, and then there will be peace. And what humanity needs is to turn from itself to the living God, turn in repentance and bow the knee to the King of Kings. We need to kiss the Son. lest he turn and strike us. So coming to everything, every geopolitical event in one way is a really great thing to do. What else can we do in a situation like this? We should pray for our leaders. Pray for Mr. Biden. You say, yeah, I know, but he's your president right now. Pray for him. Don't write me some silly comment saying he's not my president. He is the man in the White House right now. Pray for him. And if your own sense of is bigger than the Bible, then I would suggest you give your life to Jesus and become a Christian. Because the Bible says we should pray for kings, for rulers, for those in authority. Not those we chose ourselves, those we like, not those on our team. Pray for leaders. And I think it's actually a really wise moment not to try and put some political lens and say, if this guy would have been here, this, and if this lady would have been here, that. You know, my lens, it's interesting. I have so many people who come at this like Biden versus Trump thing. I grew up under a Margaret Thatcher and a Ronald Reagan. And frankly, I look at all of these recent leaders and go, sadly lacking in my idea. And you may prefer them over some of those Thatcher Reagan leaders, but that's, I look at leaders who stood up against the evil empire. And yeah, I'd like to see more of that. That's what my politics are at. But pray for them. Pray that God will give them wise decisions. Pray for those who lead the militaries of our nation here in America, that that they won't get caught up, that they'll see the plots and schemes of evil men, but also of Satan, and manage to avoid those, and that they will be peacemakers. You know, if you actually follow it through, that passage in, I believe it's 2 Timothy, where it says, pray for kings, for rulers, for those in authority. If you follow it through, most people don't keep reading. It says that we, the church, may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And if you keep reading, it says that the gospel would go forth. For God's wish is that none would perish and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So what he's saying is, pray for Caesar, pray for the Pharaoh, pray for your leaders. Why? So that there would be peace, that the gospel would go forth. And Satan's interaction on planet Earth, whether it's restrictions, whether it's COVID, whether it's the Soviet Union, whether it's war, is to stop the gospel going forth. And our prayers are not, I like this leader, I don't like that leader, but rather that the gospel would go forth to the world and to the nations. Really important thing. You know, three other things. What should we do today? I mean, give. I don't even know right now, but find a church you can support there. I can maybe connect you with some, but you know, find some real believers we can help. We can support some people who are on the ground there. Put our money where our mouth is there. Secondly, encourage. You know, again, I can supply a list of people there, but why not adopt a church in Ukraine right now? And send them, you know, say you're praying for them, ask them for that photo of their church, whatever, bless them, encourage them. You don't know how encouraging it is. It's interesting. So often I'll deal with this, and I'm not nowhere near at that level, but at times as a pastor, you've got to take the right decision. And only a very few people in the church, usually let's say the elders, know what's really going on. And at times the price you pay for taking the right decision. I've been through a bunch of situations recently where I've had to put somebody out of the church, literally excommunicate somebody from the church. And generally speaking, the only thanks you get is people thinking, oh, he doesn't even love them and he doesn't even notice they've gone. And that's not nice, is it? And because we value integrity, we can't go and say, here's why we put somebody out of the church. And sometimes, I can't tell you what a blessing it is to have somebody come and say, I don't even know what's going on there, but I'm praying for you and I believe in you and I don't need to know everything just to be an encouragement. What an encouragement it is, because it's hard being a leader. So why not speak some encouragement to those people there right now? You know, lastly, I would say this, and I think Christians really fall down here. We should participate in our democracy. In one way, it's very easy, and I'm as guilty of this, to look at our recent leaders, both red and blue. I don't think any of them have done a good job of standing up to people like Putin, of either team. I think all of them have failed at levels there. But it's very easy, again, you know, and am I doing this right now, to go on social media and critique leaders. And it's okay to do that. That's democratic to do that. But what we should actually get involved in our democracy as well. It's interesting, when the COVID thing blew up about 2 years ago, many people were voicing many opinions. I would get people writing to me, and I would say to them, like, have you spoken to your congressman about that? Have you spoken to the senator of the state? Have you expressed that opinion? What I and a bunch of pastors here in Massachusetts were doing was we're going to the governor and, you know, with a strong united voice saying, this is what the churches of our state are saying. Trust us. You can trust us. And by and large, he listened. And, you know, we were able to navigate that reasonably well as a church because we actually participated in. And my point is, if we simply check out of our democracy and become, you know, try to be armchair critics of those things, pray, but use your voice. Let's let our leaders know what we think. Let's participate in this broken, albeit broken, it's the best thing, system out there of democracy as well. Don't be a social media critic until you've actually prayed and written a few messages. You know, a really great way is, it's really easy to write emails to a senator and they just, nobody reads them, but call them, call their office and ask to speak to somebody for 2 or 3 minutes. I tell you, if 20 Christians would call their town hall and express an opinion, those guys would really listen. Boom. But hey, let me end with this, but how do we deal with something like that, Ukraine thing? We pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus, come in big ways, come in small ways, and come and set your feet on the Mount of Olives and call time out on planet Earth. Come and put your feet on the stage and let this season of the play be over, because that's the only real salvation. We need a Savior, Christ the Lord. Boom. Well, I'm sure there's something to disagree with there for everybody, but I...